Blog Talk Radio.
Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. We'd like to thank you all for your continued support and spreading the word about thinkbigradio.com. Have you spread the word today?
Good evening, good evening, good evening, all my Think Big listeners. I want to welcome you to Miss Rain's Carla Stokes, Renewing Your Life. Yes, we are here to renew lives, and today we have a dynamite person that is going to help you renew your life through coaching. I would like to introduce you to Dr. Betty Lovelace Ross, who will be speaking today on coaching for continuous improvement. Now, Dr. Lovelace Ross, what would you like for us to call you?
Betty is fine.
Okay.
And hello, Betty, to you, Carla. Yes.
Well, hello, Dr. Betty. This is Dr. Betty. Hello, Betty. I know, right?
Yeah.
I know a lot of doctor ladies. That's what I told Big. I know a lot of doctor ladies. Just give me the strength and excitement to be a doctor lady. But today, if you just tell me a little bit about yourself, and then go into talking about coaching for continuous improvement.
Sure. Well, I'll give you a little background. I grew up in a small hamlet in North Carolina. I am one of 10 children. My professional background includes a bachelor's degree in social work, 2 master's degrees, 1 in guidance education and 1 in theological studies. And, of course, I have a doctorate of education degree in counselor education with a concentration in cross-culturalism from Virginia Polytechnic Institute and State University. That would be VPI in Blacksburg, Virginia.
Oh, great.
I guess,
great.
Call it
now,
in addition, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. In addition,
I am an ordained minister. I am a writer. I'm a speaker. I do a host of things, but the joy of my life at this particular point is coaching and consulting. So that's where my hat is these days.
Great. That sounds amazing. And as I listen to your background, the first question I asked just really seems to fall well within that. So what drew you to coaching, and how long have you been doing it?
Well, I'm a certified professional life coach, meaning I have gone through the necessary rigor to gain licensure, to gain certification. How long have I been doing it? I think if the truth was to be shared, I've been doing it for, years on end, but I could not necessarily have claimed to have had certification or licensure. So in terms of licensure and actually practicing as a coach and as a consultant, I perhaps have 25 years of experience under my belt in that arena. I am certified through the Christian Coach Institute, so my focus is on Christian coaching, but not exclusively Christian coaching, because I also work with corporations across the country. I work with businesses. I work with churches, higher ed institutions, as well as secondary institutions.
Great. That sounds awesome. Now, you mentioned that you have Christian coaching as well, but you also work with business and institutions. So with the life coaching, how does that is that becoming a tool for many corporations and businesses, as well as churches?
Absolutely. In fact, the U.S. News and World Report listed coaching as one of the top growing professions, second only to business consulting. So when you think about coaching, we know that there is a lot of value that companies gain from coaching, as well as churches, particularly as you look at church leadership, whether we're talking about pastoring or serving in some other capacity. And so there isn't a lot of difference between the two entities. One entity focuses exclusively on God as being the center, as the one who's directing our paths, and the other looks more at the individual as the business in terms of how to bring about coaching within that arena. So in terms of how I manage it, I simply will look at an organization or look at a church and make a decision with those individuals who are involved in leadership based on what they determine that they want. Then that is the type of coaching experience that they will engage in.
Now, we are throwing this word around coaching, life coaching, spiritual life coaching, and I'm pretty sure one or two of our listeners may not have a full understanding of what that means. So can you tell us a little bit about what is life coaching?
Well, coaching in and of itself centers around relationship, and it is an ongoing relationship. It is a partnership between an individual, the person being coached, and the coach. Or if I were to engage in group coaching, and I'm certified in group coaching as well, the relationship would be between the group and the person who is coaching. And so when you think of coaching, it is a relationship, an ongoing relationship, I might add, in which the coach works with individuals to assist them to move from where they are to where they want to be. For example, Carla, some individuals may feel stuck. They may have some career goals, some career aspirations, or it could be something very personal. It could be an area of communication, and they don't quite know how to move through that relationship. So the coach would work with the individual where the person decides the direction he or she wants to move, the goals that he or she has, and the coach helps to clarify those goals and to help clarify the direction. But one thing that's important is that coaching is not counseling. Coaching looks at the individual where the person takes the directive, the person takes the lead, and is not contingent upon a problem or a person who is in need of therapeutic services. And in counseling, that's quite a different approach. In counseling, it is the individual who has indicated or has shown signs of there being a need for some medicinal or therapeutic work, and then the counselor works with the individual to correct or move through that problem. Coaching, on the other hand, assumes that the individual is healthy in many regards, but that person may feel stuck or wants a change in his or her life, and so the coach partners with or walks alongside the person to achieve the goals and the aspirations that he or she wants. In terms of training, because you're absolutely correct, there are a number of individuals out there who are engaging in coaching as a certified coach or as a coach who is licensed. But one thing I know and one thing I've discovered along the way is that there are many programs out there, but what a person needs to be careful about is selecting the kind of experience that he or she will have, because I know that you can become a coach with as few as 6 hours of training. Now, I am not a rocket scientist, but I do understand and I know all too well that it takes much more time to gain the skill sets, to gain the competencies to go out and engage in coaching. And so my background is much more extensive than that. In addition, I am a counselor. I have a master's degree in counseling. And so I have both of those experiences, but I practice exclusively within the area of coaching. I don't profess to be a licensed professional counselor, but I am a licensed professional coach.
Now, that brings up a very good question, because you touched on the coaching aspect as well as the counseling aspect. So what is the difference between the coaching, counseling, and mentoring?
Very good question. Well, coaching works from the perspective of the individual making a decision that he or she wants a change in his or her life. That person looks at their life and decides that change is needed. Where I am today is not where I want to be tomorrow. A key component to coaching is that the person brings about a healthy perspective for the most part. And with counseling, as I mentioned earlier, it is treatment-based, it is therapeutic in nature. And some examples, if a person needs grief counseling or if a person needs counseling in an area where he or she may feel guilty or there may be some psychotic experiences that that person is experiencing, that's counseling. I don't profess to engage in the therapeutic or treatment component to counseling. That is not an area that I focus in. I do focus on coaching, which assumes that the person is relatively free of psychological issues, anything that might distract that individual or undermine the coaching process. Now, you asked me about mentoring. Mentoring typically takes place between an individual who is of senior status and one who is of junior status. And the senior status person works with his or her protege to help that person to become more proficient in their particular field. So in a nutshell, caller, those are the differences between the three areas. And one more I might add would be consulting, because I'm also a consultant. And so when I wear that consulting hat, I am assessing and analyzing practices within an organization. And from that, I may make recommendations or provide advice. So that's very different from coaching, because a coach does not at any time give advice. The coach provides guidance, but not advice or recommendations to the person who is being coached.
I think that's a very interesting distinction. You said direction, and they provide direction and advice.
Direction and guidance, not advice.
And guidance, not advice. Okay.
In other words, the client.
So they provide directions and guidance.
Exactly. Directions in the sense of the questions that need to be asked, sometimes challenging the person's thinking, but not suggesting to the person that here is a path or here is a way that you need to take. That is not the job of the coach. The coach is there to walk with. Sometimes I refer to it one who just simply connects with the person and walks with an individual, walks through those situations with that person and allows that individual to discover, you know, to discover the way that he or she needs to move. But the coach guides that person along the path versus telling that individual what he or she should do.
And that is because a counselor would do more of advising and more directive hands-on stuff as opposed
well,
to coaching.
Well, it's more therapeutic in nature, and the idea is for you to get, quote, in the quote, well. Wellness is not a part of, it's not a part of the coaching philosophy or the coaching mandate.
Great, and that is very good to know because, you know, you see so many different coaches or people on television, and they're, you know, the biggest one that you, the most celebrated one or the most famous one, Ivania Fixed My Life. And, you know, it kind of makes you wonder about is the coaching, are the coaches supposed to fix people? So it's more of
the
directions
coach
and guidance.
Not. My job is not, my job is not to fix. My job is to work alongside you, to walk alongside you, to stand with you in your experience. Now, here is something, Carla, that is important to note. The person who comes to coaching more often than not is one who desires to be in that relationship. So there is a sense of responsibility that the person must assume. I use the word wellness, wellness in the sense with counseling, as in I have a problem, I have a need, and I need someone to work with me and to make sure that this need is addressed, that this need is fixed. You know, the whole notion of I'm sick and I need to get well, that's counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Coaching is I have an area that I desire to grow in. I have an area where I want to be at a different place tomorrow or next week than I am today. So it suggests that in many regards, in all regards, you are a healthy person, but you're desiring to be at a different place tomorrow than you are today. And so the coach works with that person to help clarify the goals, to help clarify the direction that he or she needs to move in or wants to move in. Another way of looking at it, Carla, is to say that when an individual is stuck, that individual needs someone to walk with them to help them to become unstuck. And so the coach helps that person to become unstuck.
That is great. Now, so we're going through. We understand that. Now, what are the values of seeking out coaching? What value do they draw from? And that you just explained about helping them get unstuck. What all does that entail, and what value does that bring to the individual?
Well, many of us desire to be in a different place than where we currently are. The vast majority of individuals are continuously seeking to improve, i.e., the example, coaching for continuous improvement. It says that I am aware that I need and want to be at a different place. I value who I am as an individual. There is a certain lifestyle that I value. I have a sense of what I want out of life, but I may not know how to reach it or the steps that are necessary to get from point A to point B. And so a coach walks with that person to help them discover and to help them to move along a continuum. It's all about continuous improvement. It is all about change. And so one specific value that the coach must have is being a good listener. A specific value may also be being trustworthy. Now, what is the value that the client brings to the experience? The client or the person being coached must have a commitment. That individual must have a level of confidence that he or she can move forward. And again, it is standing in who you are and who you want to become. And so I value who I am as an individual. And when I look at myself, although I may not be where I desire to be, I know that there are some steps that I need to take. So I'm valuing who I am in my own personal and professional growth to make a conscientious decision to move forward. Now, Carla, there are some companies that may require or strongly advise that a person seek out a coach. And when that is the case, then the coach would sit down with both the individual who is recommending that the individual is coached so that there is a clear understanding about the direction that things will move. But once that supervisor or manager or whomever that person may be has laid the groundwork for why that individual is recommended for coaching, then that person steps out of that relationship, and then it is between the person who is being coached and the coach who's providing the service, so that there isn't a breach of confidentiality or that the integrity of the experience is maintained at all times.
Oh, yes. So there's principles and things that have to be followed. So what principles do coaches subscribe to? Is there a governing agency or organization or entity to ensure that they're following?
The interesting piece to all of this, Carla, is while there is an agency, the International Coaching Federation, ICF, not everyone belongs to that federation. Just as there is the ICF, there are a number of other associations out there. And so there is not a guarantee that an individual might receive a coach who subscribes to the competencies set forth by ICF. And if you don't mind, I'd like to share some of what those competencies are. Some of them would include creating a level of trust and intimacy in the coaching relationship. Another one would be coaching presence. I'm not running ahead of the experience and I'm not lagging behind it, but I am walking with the person who's being coached. I am empathetic. I am responsive. I am intuitive. You know, all of these pieces and things that go with making sure that the individual being coached is getting the most out of the experience. I am partnering with that person. I think that's a good word, because to partner with suggests that I'm walking alongside, that I'm encouraging you, that I'm being where you are, and that I can look at what you're saying but also look beneath what you are saying, for example, what you are not saying, and I can draw out of that observation some questions that need to be asked so that you can have a greater sense of awareness and clarity on the direction that you need to move.
Mm. That is very good. Now, I'm listening to the information that you presented. It is very informative. We know that people have been stuck in different things and needing a direction and how to get out. So as the listeners are sitting there wondering if they need coaching, tell us who should consider coaching.
Well, I have one question to ask. Are you today where you desire to be? And Carla, let me ask you that question. Are you today where you want to be?
No, there are some places I still want to go.
Then you would be a candidate for coaching. And in that same vein, all of us are constantly looking to improve upon self. I use the generic all, but I also know that many people are content, they are satisfied, but the vast majority of us want to look at ways that we can continue to get better. You know, and so who would seek out coaching? Anyone who wants to be at a different place, who wants to be better than where he or she is today. That is not to suggest that there is a problem. It suggests that I am invested, that I am concerned about where I am, and I'm constantly looking for ways to transform, for ways to move forward, for ways to change and improve in my skills, in my competencies, and how I interact and work with individuals. Because I dare say the person who's satisfied is the person who has ceased to grow. And coaching is all about growth. It's all about change. It's all about transforming. It's all about moving from point A to point B and getting better.
That is interesting. So you can do a coaching session for short-term, like you want to build up some confidence because you're getting ready to get a promotion and you want to make sure you're ready. Or you can do long-term.
Absolutely.
There's something
Absolutely.
That you want to obtain in your life. What other types of coaching? I know you mentioned spiritual and life and consulting. What other types of coaching are available?
Well, let me just share some examples of individuals that I've worked with. I've worked with an individual who was interested in improving the relationship with her daughter. That's personal coaching. I've worked with individuals who've been in organizations and they have looked for ways to be more effective leaders and managers. That's another type of coaching. I've worked with women who are interested in showing up differently in the work environment, in determining what their brand is. You know, how they present themselves. That's yet another type of coaching. There is coaching for teenagers, coaching for children, at every level and walk of life. Of course, one would have to modify. And again, this is where coaching presence comes in. One would have to adjust to where that person is. The coach needs to adjust. The coach needs to work with that person where he or she is. And then assist that individual to move to where he or she wants to be. So look at any aspect of life, and I will assure you that that's an opportunity for coaching. It does not matter what it is. You could have a manager that is classified as a bad manager, one that you have difficulty working with. I can work with an individual to assist them to develop some levels of competency and skills to be more effective in communicating with that manager, to be more effective in assessing and determining what the behavioral styles. For example, I use the DIS instrument. I'm not sure if you are familiar with the DIS, but it's the everything DIS, behaviors in the workplace. And so there are coaching opportunities for individuals who need to or desire to build their relationship in the workplace. It could be on a very personal level, but it could also be on a much broader level. And again, every area, every walk of life that a person engages in is an opportunity for one to be involved in coaching. And as a skilled coach, as one who's able to work well in many different venues, which is why my portfolio is fairly vast. I can work with individuals in so many different areas and walks of life because I have traveled down many of those paths myself as I've moved from various organizations in my own professional development. So those are the areas that can call and one can get coaching. And it is, you know, I've gone through coaching myself because in order to do it, I'm a strong proponent that one needs to be fully engaged in it. And part of the certification for the person who is seeking certification to also go through the coaching experience. And so I've done that. And I assure you, even with the writing of one of my books, Carla, I receive coaching on the writing of one of my books. And so there are so many different ways in which one can receive coaching to make sure that that individual is progressing at the level that, number one, he or she wants to, and number two, he or she needs to.
Oh, my goodness. That we have some listeners. Listeners, if you would like to ask a question of Dr. Betty, press hashtag 1 or pound 1, and I will see that you have a question, and I will go to you. So that if there's anything you would like to ask about coaching, please, this is a great opportunity to ask that question of Dr. Betty while we have her here. Now, I'm going to take a quick intro second, so we'll remind everyone as they're preparing their questions.
Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. We'd like to thank you all for your continued support and spreading the word about thinkbigradio.com. Have you spread the word today?
All right, we're back now. Before we go any further, Dr. Betty, can you give us your contact information of how they can find you should they decide they want to hire you as a coach?
Okay, you used the word hire. Let me suggest
it's like Magnum P.I. What would you say?
Well, I would say anyone who's desirous of moving forward in their personal or professional lives, anyone who wants a change, anyone who sees him or herself as being stuck, those are opportunities to work with. So I like the notion of working with, seeking out assistance from someone to assist the person to get to that place to where he or she wants. In terms of contact information, it would be Betty, B-E-T-T-Y, L-O-V-E, L-A-C-E, lovelace at gmail.com. My website is the, as in T-H-E, hyphen, envision, E-N-V as in victory, I-S-I-O-N, group.com. And my phone number is area code 614-992-3889.
That is awesome. We're going to ask for that again right before.
Okay, very good. Okay. Carla, one of the things I thought about in terms of what makes a coach a very good and effective coach is the whole notion of being curious. A coach must be curious about a client, not in the sense of being nosy or being intrusive, because a coach is never intrusive, but a coach is curious. And by curious, I mean your goal is to do more than gather information. And your goal is to do more than encourage the client to be open and honest, To be curious says that I have a genuine interest in who you are as an individual, and that I not only move to understand you, but to create an atmosphere for you where you can begin thinking about your values, where you can think about your perspectives, your lifestyle, your goals, your feelings, your relationships. So it's that curiosity that drives the relationship between the coach and the client. It is that same curiosity that leads me to engage in active listening, that leads me to engage in asking powerful questions, and at times leads me to challenge the person who is being coached. So I just wanted to get on the table this whole notion of I must be curious in order to be effective in that coaching relationship, so that as the person being coached, you can move along this continuum to continuous improvement.
Now, when you mentioned that about being curious and not just nosy, it made me think, is there a specific background that a person needs to be a coach or to need coaching?
No specific background. The only background is for the coach, him or herself, to be committed, to have the confidence, to have the level of competence. Competence is the training, right? So that, if you have those qualities and you have a genuine desire to work with individuals, if you don't care much about working with people and your preference is to work with widgets, then coaching is not an area that you want. It is not a profession that you should pursue, because you're going to fall short in your ability to work effectively with an individual. But if you have that genuine nature of wanting to work with people, and you're curious and you're committed and you're confident in the skill sets that you bring into the experience, as well as you're constantly seeking to improve yourself as a coach, because it doesn't just stop with certification. I am constantly involved in growing and developing and becoming a better coach myself. And so I'm always engaged in webinars or always reading and always talking with colleagues who are coaches as well, and bouncing ideas off of other people. So there is that continuous growth and improvement that I must engage in to be an effective coach. And you asked about the person being coached. What does it take? I think it goes back to what I mentioned before, just a desire to change, a desire to move from where you are to the place that you desire to be.
Wow. Now, that, and as I'm gathering the information and listening, and you're thinking about, now from the highest person all the way down to the person that just, you know what, I don't want to be in this dead-end job anymore. How do I move into another job? It's just the matter of the change and responsibility that coaching brings to that person's life. So how does an individual really get the coaching, and then what is, after the coaching is done, what happens next?
Well, coaching assists individuals to develop plans of action. Remember, I indicated that it's all about change. It is about action. It is about risk-taking. It is about being successful in terms of what it looks like to you. I cannot place my lens of success on you because you have not walked the path that I have, and neither have I walked your path. And we don't want the same things out of life. And so I must work with you so that you can have clarity and a perspective on the direction that you want to move in. So you have to come to the experience wanting some things to change. You may not know all of the ins and outs to that change, but for example, you mentioned the person who's in a dead-end job. So, Carla, I understand that you are looking at the position that you're currently in, and you raised some questions about it. You've indicated that you do not see yourself progressing in your current job. What led to this assessment. Can you share some of those things with me? I just asked you a powerful question.
Yes, yes. What it made it? You asked me to do some introspection to see if I knew what the problem was. So it wasn't you telling me. It was me saying, let me see why I feel this way.
Exactly. And therefore, Carla, we've just looked at the first element to coaching. That is you having a level of awareness in terms of where you are now. So the first question that we focus on is, where are you now in your experience? Where are you now in your thinking? What is going on with you right now that impacts how you look at this job, how you look at where you are? That's awareness. And so that is always the first step to establishing this coaching process. And there are additional steps that I would work with you. I would move from where you are in terms of awareness to your vision. Where is it, Carla, that you want to go? And I would ask some very specific questions that you would look at very closely and begin formulating thoughts, ideas on where you want to be. Here is one question, if you don't mind me asking. Let me just ask you a miracle question. Carla, assume that tonight when you went to bed, and before you woke up in the morning, a miracle took place. And everything that you've been wanting to have happen in terms of your professional development is now before you. It has now occurred. How would things be different? That's a vision question.
Oh, my goodness. It is.
That's a miracle question.
The minute you asked, I saw it. I saw the reaching out, helping, bringing people forward, helping them change their lives, providing that information, just using all of my experiences to better other people's lives. And it's just, how do you get to that point?
To better your life. So now the actions, that's the third component. I would say to you, now you've indicated that things would be different for you, and you've shared with me how things would be different. One thing that you've indicated, Carla, is that you experience a sense of passion and delight for where you are now. So then, having stated that, how do you get there? List 2 to 3 specific actions that you need to take or strategies that you need to take to get you to that place. And so you would list the 2 to 3 strategies, and I would add, by when do you see yourself getting there? Yeah. So now you are.
So that is setting dates.
Absolutely.
Essentially putting a time limit on it.
That's my goal. That's my goal. And to set realistic dates, to engage the SMART principle, to be specific, to make them measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. So I'm all about setting SMART or smarter goals. So that's strategy in action.
Smarter goals.
Smarter goals.
Now,
and so,
this is great. This is great information, and I know our listeners are getting a lot out of this. Now, here's a question that I have heard in different areas and different arenas behind different things. So what? What is the so what to coaching?
Carla, before I go to the so what, can I just share the last step to this whole model for coaching? It will only take a second.
Yes,
so
definitely.
I've talked about awareness. I've talked about awareness and having you look at where you are now. I've talked about vision, which in employs the notion of where do you want to go. That's where that miracle question was asked. I've asked you to be very specific in looking at strategies and actions in terms of how to get there. The last question that I would ask you would be something that focuses on potential obstacles. What gets in the way of you getting from point A to point B? What are some of those obstacles that might get in the way? So I have to ask that question so that you can begin to give thought to what they are, and you can begin to look for ways to work through or to work around or in spite of the potential obstacles. So that's the coaching model. So now you asked me the big question, the so what. The so what, I believe, is that you are now functioning at greater capacity. The so what is that your mind, your spirit, the essence of who you are is at a very different place than where you were. You now have a clearer sense of vision. You have a clearer sense of the direction you're going, and you have a clearer sense of actions and strategies that are necessary to get you from where you are to where you want to be. You are now at a place to where you can see it happening. That was the vision question. You can see it, and if you can see it, it creates a better sense of direction in terms of how to reach out and get it. And so coaching is all about helping you to determine where you are and helping you to be able to reach out and get to where you need to be, to get unstuck, to get to that place to where you have a greater sense of accomplishment and have a greater sense of confidence. One thing I need to say is that as a coach, while I work to enable individuals, I am not an enabler. You will not find me co-signing on what it is that you're doing. That's left up to you. My goal, again, is not to enable, is not to become an enabler. My goal is to encourage and to show you ways that you can move forward in your own growth and development, whether it's personal or professional.
Wow, and when you think about coaching in that perspective, that's what, when you think of all sports, that's what you think, that's what they do. They make them better.
Mm-hmm. It's all about performance.
Now,
it's not a coach's job in the sports arena is to draw out of the athletes all of what they're capable of becoming. That's the coach's job. But now if I think about how this concept may have originated, and there are many different thought patterns out there. When you think about the 1500s, where you would have this horse-drawn vehicle, the whole notion was to get people from where they were to where they needed to go, right, or wanted to go. So when you look at that, that's what a coach provides. We are this vehicle through which individuals can partner to move from where they are to where they desire to be.
Yes. From
and
point
we
A
do
to
it,
B or C or wherever.
Exactly. And it's a mutually agreed upon arrangement. Because
yes.
I can't coach you if you don't want to be coached. And there are times
that's right.
when the coach makes a decision that the person is not ready. And I would never pursue a coaching relationship with an individual who has clearly indicated after that first session. Now, we will sit down. We will do an assessment. And I would use that questionnaire, that assessment tool, to begin to formulate ways in which we might be able to work together. But anytime I sit down or if it's via phone, anytime I engage in a coaching relationship, that person who is being coached sets the agenda. I would always ask you, what is it that you want to be coached on today? And you would share that. And I would also ask you, at the end of this session, what is it that you hope to have accomplished? I will use those two questions to guide that coaching relationship for that session.
Wow.
And in terms of number of sessions, that is completely left up to the person. Typically, I work with individuals for minimally 4 sessions. But if someone wants or needs on the spot or very quick coaching experience, then there are ways to do that as well.
That is great. Now, I know our time is winding down. So before I ask the final question, can you give us your contact information one more time?
Sure. Betty, B-E-T-T-Y, love, L-O-V-E as in victory, E-L-A-C-E at gmail.com. Betty, lovelace at gmail.com. The website is the-envision, E-N, V as in victory, I-S-I-O-N group.com. The phone number is area code 614-992-3889. And I certainly hope someone out there who is listening to this interview that you will reach out to me. If you reach out to me, I promise you I'll get back in touch with you and we can begin a wonderful coaching relationship.
That is awesome. Now, are there any parting thoughts regarding coaches that you would like to leave with our listeners?
I think perhaps the most important one is a more personal thought in terms of what I get out of the experience. I have been out in the professional arena for a number of years. I've served in the capacity of student. I've served as subordinate. I've served as executive leader. Part of what I do is executive leadership coaching as well as individual personal coaching at any level throughout an organization and focusing on any number of different arenas as it relates specifically to a person. One thing I guarantee individuals with whom I work is that they will get the absolute best out of me, and we will not stop until that person has moved forward in their thinking and in their being and in their sense of accomplishment. So that's a commitment that I make, and it's one that I stand by.
That is awesome. Now, listen, big thinkers, this is an opportunity for you to examine your life to see if coaching is where you need to be as you are looking to renew your life from every aspect of your life. Coaching will help you to move in that direction. And as we have Dr. Betty Lovelace Walls on the line, on the air, giving you these priceless gems of how to move forward, please take advantage of that. Now, as we are getting ready to call it done but not finished, we want to thank Dr. Lovelace Ross.
And for thank giving you, us her Paula. Time. It has been a pleasure.
Yes. Now, you mentioned, real quick, you mentioned some books. How can they get your books?
Well, there is, the easiest way perhaps is to contact me via BettyLovelace@gmail.com. And I will provide the sites where a person can get the books. So that's the easiest way at this point, because there's some other things that I would like to share with the person who's interested in some of my books. Let me just share a couple of the titles of the books that I've edited. One is A Collection of the Sayings of Mama Nem, The Wit and Wisdom of Mama, Madea, and Other Mothers. One of the other books that I've written is from a spiritual standpoint, and the focus is, the title of the book is Living Under an Imposed Sentence, Imprints from the Preaching Life of Dr. Charles E. Booth. But individuals can reach out to me via my Gmail account, and I will be happy to get those books into folks' hands.
Awesome. Great. Well, Dr. Lovelace Ross, we want to thank you for coming on Think Big and giving us this information. You are greatly enriching the circles and causing ripples and effect of everyone on the airwaves that listen live, as well as those that will listen on the app and as they circulate and be in the archive, because we get more listeners that will download it and listen when they have more convenient time. They'll replay it, they'll forward it on to their friends. So the ripple pond is just going to get larger, and we know that more and more people are going to reach out and get that all-needed coaching so that they can move and be their best selves, so that they can renew their lives and take it to another level. So at this point, I want to thank you for coming on, and we will take our outro, and it was a pleasure speaking with you, as always. And if you have any questions with Dr. Lovelace, you're welcome. Please contact her. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. We'd like to thank you all for your continued support and spreading the word about ThinkBigRadio.com. Have you spread the word today?